Page 196, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph. We're in the middle of Pasuk Yud Aleph. Carabao site, page 196, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph. Let's review what we learned yesterday. Miyad. We'll read the Pasuk first. Miyad Sha'ol Eftaim. Okay, the Pasuk says that Hashem, the way we learned the Pasuk until now is Miyad Shol, and it's referring to the past. Hashem says that in the past I've been very good to Klal Yisrael. In the past, I have always redeemed them from the grave. Mimaves Egolem, we have poetic repetition from the death. We have two words which mean the same thing. Sha'ol is the grave, which refers to death. Maves is death. And Hashem has redeemed us Eftaim and Egolem, two words which are very, very similar. Grave. What's in the grave? Dead people are in the grave. Miyad Sha'ol Eftaim. I have redeemed them. I have prevented them from entering into the grave prematurely.
What times that it says in the Chumash the word Sha'ola, it means worse than that. It means like incommunicado, as opposed to a grave is the communication between life and death. But Sha'ola means you're in the phantom zone.
Uh-huh.
Lower levels.
Okay.
This is Biyokon, next week's parsha, that, you know,
it's like Gehenna.
It's like there's nowhere where there's no communication.
Very interesting.
Great to the dead. It's worse.
It's even worse than the grave. Okay. Very interesting. That's just, it's worse than the kever. But the idea over here is miyad. This we learned yesterday means that in the past, back in the past, from the time that Hashem selected Klal Yisrael to be the Am HaNivchar. Okay, From the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected Klal Yisrael to be the Am HaNivchar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has always come to our rescue. And whenever there was a situation where Chas V'Shalom we would have been deserving to enter into the grave, as Rabbi Nevsky said, into a place where there's no communication, where it's even worse than the grave, Hashem was always there to Eftaim, to redeem us. Mimaves Egolem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Egolem redeemed us from death. Whenever there was a situation where we would have been deserving of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have redeemed us, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us in the past. However, Hashem now says, Ad Kan, the buck stops here. No more. This rescue, the search and rescue team has been retired. No more. You've sinned to a degree, to such a degree where you're no longer deserving of my coming to your aid. There's no longer going to be salvation. As we mentioned in the last 2 days, the concept of Nismala Hasa'ah, the measure is full. And therefore Hashem says, from now on in the future, Ahi Divarecha Maves. From here on in, from here on in, I will declare upon you death. I will declare, divarecha simply means the word dibur. Dibur means speech. I will issue a command, a decree, a gezerah, that there should be death. Ehi kotovcha she'ol, I will issue a decree. We have to pretty much. We'll try Sha'ol, correct, right? But here it says Kitovcha. It's not just on the Sha'ol. The word Sha'ol is in connection with Kotovcha, which literally means to cut off. I will cut you down into the grave. We're going to see some of the Farshim in a few moments to bring out why the difference between the word Sha'ol in the beginning of the Pasuk and the word Sha'ol at the end of the Pasuk.
Well, the connotation in when Yaakov is saying Biyogon Sha'ol, or rather than to say Vosi, is that normally when you go to, let's say you die, and you go to Gehenna, and then after your sentence to Gehenna is over, right, you go to Gan Eden. But Sha'ol means you never get that chance.
Right.
Because you haven't gone. You're in some place where there's no Gehenna, so you never get to go.
You
to
never
Gehenna.
Get to Tikkun. Gehenna is a schus.
It's over.
Gehenna is a good thing, because Gehenna at least is a
it's a correction
facility. What?
Well, that's it. They were in Sha'ol. They never got a chance to be repatriated. That's what they lose the olam haba.
It's tikkun. It's tikkun.
I got to quote you on that. A good thing.
No, it is. That's a chazal.
The bnei Korach.
They were saying, but they were saying, landed on the cliff.
Uvnei Korach loy mesu. Bnei Korach did not die. They were able. They did teshuva the very last moment. They held on to the cliff. They did not die. Uvnei Korach loy mesu. There was once a rav who had balabatim, which gave him a very hard time, which gave the balabatim a very hard, the balabatim gave the rabbi a very, very difficult time. So the rabbi said, it says in the pasuk, "Vnei Korach loy mesu." So what happened to them? They're right here in this shul.
What happened to them?
They're right here in every shul. In every shul, Vnei Korach loy mesu. Korach was challenged the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. So his children also they followed in his shita. But Vnei Korach loy mesu, only Korach died. What happened? They're scattered in every shul. There are a few Vnei Korach, always giving the rabbi a hard time. That's supposed to be a joke. Is it really a joke? I don't know. I know some Vnei Korach. I really do. All different types of Einiklach. You have Rebbe Einiklach, Einiklach of the Nekirach, and then you have Einiklach of the Maral, and then you have Einiklach of the Goylim of the Maral. All different types of Yichus.
The people that called
the Vilna Goylim. Okay, all different types of Einiklach. So in this pasuk, Hashem says that Adkan. No more will HaKadosh Baruch Hu show Rachmanis, will show Rachmanis to Klal Yisrael. Hashem will no longer redeem them, but now Hashem's Ehi Divarecha Maves, my words will be a decree of death. Ehi Katovcha Sha'ol, I will cut you down to the grave. Seemingly, you have to repeat the word Divarecha twice, which is very common. You take the word Divarecha, he means, my words will be, I will issue a decree that you should be cut down. Katovcha means to be cut down, to be sliced. Sheol into the grave. Death shall come upon you and you will enter into the grave. Noicham yisoser me'enoi. I'm not changing my mind. I don't even think for one moment I'm going to change my mind from this decree. This decree is etched in blood, is sealed with blood. There's nothing that can be done. So this is how we live. We spent yesterday with Mitzvahs and Rashi. They both pretty much said the same exact thing. Their idea was we take the first part of the pasuk and we make a cut. Period, which means in the past I was so good to you. I always came to your rescue, but no more. Adkan, from here on in, because we learned yesterday, the last 2 days, Nismale Hasa'ah. There comes a point in time, Adkan. That's the life. We all know that to be. There has to be a red line. Okay? Bibi Netanyahu. Right? In the United Nations, how many years ago was it? There's a red line. Everything in this world, ad kan, there's only that much nonsense you can tolerate. That's the way the world goes. You have a student in yeshiva, and you give him 50 chances, and he's disturbing the class, and he's ruining it for everyone else. You know, ad kan. There's a limit to how much garbage you're going to take. Every person has a breaking point. A person is abused. People take abuse. So, you know, you marvel me, doisav, you take it once, take it twice. When it goes on and on and on, you know, that's the way the world works. And they have tithes. How come you so mean? How come you threw out the child? How come you do this? You don't know the whole story. You don't know. Don't be so quick to judge. You have to know the whole story. What happened over here? I was tutoring a kid, he's a bar mitzvah boy. And out in a shul in the corner, and I was a little rough with him. I was a little like my tone was very harsh, and I have no charata because I was dealing with this kid for a very long time and work with him, and I know him very well, very close with him, and the kid deserves a lot worse than what I said to him. In being upset at his performance, from my perspective, he deserved a lot worse. And this guy walks in the shul for the very first time. He never saw me. He never saw the kid. And he hears I'm talking to him. And after the session was over, he comes over to me and says, "That's how you talk to a child, a little boy. You're so harsh with him." You have to be. I said, who are you? I know this kid for a year. I'm working with him. You come out of nowhere. You think you know everything over here. I have no doubt in my mind that what I have said to him and the way I expressed myself to him was nothing. Nothing relative to my relationship with him over a year and what he deserved. You come middle of nowhere and you think you know everything? You know, there's a point. You look at the situation. Why does Hashem Rachmanis, why did Hashem take the Aseres HaShvatim and just send them off nowhere? Do you understand? For 200 years, 200 years, they have rebelled against Hashem. They have betrayed Hashem. We've learned already two parochim, over and over. I was so good to you. I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. How much abuse do we expect Hashem to take?
You know what? That's maybe also Kiddush Hashem to Hashem. If the nation is seeing how God treats us, and we say it in our tzilos, the Tachanun, that's gonna affect their thinking about God. They're not looking at the last 200 years or 400 years.
Then they're fools. They're fools. You cannot expect. What's the classic example everyone gives? All the Bali Muslims. You walk into a shul, they give someone an aliyah.
By the way, thank you for talking to me. It meant much more to me today.
Thank you. Thank you for telling me. It's a serious thing, talking. It's not. So, look, what's the classic example that you'll find in the most basic Musar Sar? Musar 101. You walk into a shul, and there's a Rav in the Mizrach. And there's a maggid shir over here, and there's a chashva guest over here, and there's this delir. And who do they give shlishi to? They give shlishi to some anonymous person, some guy in the middle of the shul. Are you giving shlishi to him? Why don't you give shlishi to the rav? Why don't you give shlishi to this Talmud Chacham? Why don't you give shlishi to the guest, to this person who you think is the guest? Giving this guy, he's wearing jeans, he's wearing sandals. What are you giving him shlishi for? So you say to him, excuse me, sir, where have you been? Where have you been? The Rav gets shlishi every Shabbos. And whenever he makes a simcha, we give him shlishi during the week. And he gives every Shabbos, we give him shlishi. And this Talmud Chacham, he got shlishi last week. And he also, we gave him after 2 weeks ago. You walk in one Monday morning and you think you know everything? You think you saw the big picture? You're a fool! So for a guy to say, look, Hashem exiled, we're not responsible. We're not responsible. Hashem is not responsible to deal with people who are fools. Study history. Go study Nach. Study what it says. Study Sefer Hashem. Study what it says. Just because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is so harsh, you have to know the whole story.
You see, by Moshe Rabbeinu, his whole tiny was, what are the goyim going to say? You're going to destroy Klal Yisrael. Well, it seems
that's
that
right.
The goyim say,
it's a good argument. It's a good argument.
It's not so simple.
Not so simple. Absolutely. You take that into account. Absolutely. But to a degree. You take it into account to a degree. That was the first time they submitted something very significant, the Eagles 40 days, to a degree.
It worked.
It worked, right. But that was 40 days after Matan Torah. That was, they were a brand new, off the press, just freshly minted nation. Okay, so you have to have some leeway. Here we're dealing with Klal Yisrael's well established. They're now how many years? 650 years into Eretz Yisrael, and they've been done terrible averos. We read the last 2-3 parochim over and over in every different dimension of the betrayal. No, but it's one thing to do an avera. It's another thing to betray someone who's been good to you. People take a lot less than when Hashem took.
Following up what Mark said, I mean, if you think about it, you have a new generation. Every generation is a new generation. Like, even go back to Torah, this week, Hashem said that to the old generation. Of my fellow, 16 old, you're gone. I won't deal with you anymore.
It's a balance, you're
so
right.
It's a
balance.
That what, like Mark said, what took place 100 years ago on the Shoah and all that, one after the other, but that was all that, yeah, that was my grandparents and all that. I'm a new guy. You gotta treat me.
The Torah says,
I have to agree with that concept.
The Torah says it's a balance. You're right. You are right. You're absolutely right. And there's no doubt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes into account that we don't relate to what happened in the past. Absolutely. But there's also a principle in the Torah. Binu shenois dor vodor. Sha'al avicha v'yagedcha zikeinecha v'yoymru loch. We are instructed in the Torah. Rav Hudna says the study of Jewish history is a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. You take out a barrel of wine, you listen to a tape from barrel of wine in the car, you mekayim a mitzvah d'oraisa of Talmud Torah.
Don't do it in the car.
Okay, so you do it at home. You do whatever you do it. Okay, are you right? I understand what I... Whatever you do. When you study Jewish history, you talk about the Crusades, you learn about Inquisition, you learn about ancient history. What's irrelevant to us, the Inquisition? What's the Muranos? We have to know about these things? Yes. Yes, there are lessons. There are lessons that are relevant to us, and we are commanded a mitzvah d'oraisa, binu shenois dor vador. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Understand, binu is a very powerful word. It does not just mean to read. Deeply understand, mevin dover mitoich dover, shenois dor vador. All of the events that happened through history. Sha'al, if you don't know, go ask. Find yourself a professor. Sha'al avicha. But you're right also, Mr. Rapport, you're right. You can't, no matter how much you read and you absorb, it doesn't relate to us. It's hard to really become part of your being unless you live it. Who can say that? So you're right. It cannot be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold us accountable as if it happened yesterday. We're living in a different time. But there's a balance. There's definitely a balance between being obligated to understand history and where we stand in this moment of time relative to our forefathers, and also we are independent. It's like we start every generation, there's a reset on the clock. So we have over here they've crossed the line with the balance and with everything said. The bottom line is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it very clear over and over again in many different ways. We've learned this for so many weeks, months, over and over again, is don't look at the Golos and the Churban of the Aseres HaShvatim as just an accident, just a coincidence. There are prophets, many prophets, that have said the same thing in many different ways, in many different angles, many different perspectives. It was deserved. The Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim is not like the Holocaust. The Holocaust, we are Yesaimim. We are blind. We have no one to tell us why, how. It's very hard. It's just pure Emunah. Because we do not have among us Nevi'im that can tell us Tzadik V'Raloi in our day and age. Impossible. But the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim had the advantage that there were many Nevi'im who told them, who warned them it would happen, who warned them very, very specifically it's going to happen, and told them after it happened why it happened.
But the Nevi'im didn't have an audience.
They did have an audience. The fact that we have this book here today.
In terms of total.
No, it seems they knew. It seems the word, the people were very curious. People really did pay attention. They ignored it. We don't understand the Yetzirah. They had a tremendous Yetzirah. A tremendous Yetzirah to do Averos and not follow Avodah Zarah. But even just not to listen. Everyone knows that themselves. I know myself. People can tell you, give you most of the whole day. You're right. I just can't bring myself to listen to follow through with what you're telling me. It's a problem. It's a very big problem. But at some point in time, the goal is it should sink in to the degree where you will listen, you will make a move, you will act. And even if Rachmana Litzlan, you don't, and you're punished, the very least, don't blame anyone but yourself. Know that it's your doing, and be matzdik Allah of Esadin. That's what Nevu is all about. it's the lessons, not just the prophecies for the future, but it's a revelation of what's going on the other side of Shemayim to understand the events, what are the causes of the events, and don't blame Hashem, blame yourself. Okay, let's go further. So over here we have this very harsh pasuk. This pasuk is probably from the harshest pasuk we've ever learned because it contrasts the past with the future. Hashem acknowledges in the past I've been very kind. I've always have come to your rescue, without exception, but no more. No more nismala hasa'ah. The measure is full, and I therefore issue a command that the end should come, the apocalypse. And what happens next? Next, noicham yisoser me'enoi. Don't think for one moment I'm going to change my mind. The decree is sealed in blood. There's nothing more you can possibly do. This is what we learned yesterday. Now, we're going to see now, not everyone agrees to this interpretation. Let's first start with the Radak. We'll go in order. Radak, Pasik, Yudalid. Okay, we didn't do this yet. Miyad Shol Efdeim. Chayisi Poid, if he starts off just like the Rashi and the Mitzudas, the first part is a reference to the past. Chayisi, in the past. Poide Oysam Miyad Shol, from the grave. Im Hoyu Chachomim. Mimoves egolem. In other words, I redeem them if they would only listen to me. He's adding, you know, he's going because he's going. The Radak is going back in the previous pasuk. Hu vein loy chacham. Now you're foolish. That's why now I'm not going to redeem you. In the past, I redeem you because you still had some intelligence and you recognize that what you're doing is wrong. There was someone to talk to. There was someone home. I can talk to you. You have intelligence. You are receptive. Today we have a big problem. Today people talk to people. There's no one home today. Used to, when I know years ago, I noticed this. It's very frightening. Dafyomi Shi'urim. I know, I don't know, maybe I'm totally wrong. I think Dafyomi has taken a very big hit. I think years ago, go back even two cycles ago, they were Shi'urim. They were real Shi'urim. What do I mean Shi'urim? People listened. There was a Magid. Someone gave the Shi'ur. And people listened to the shir. They came to the shir to listen. Intelligent people, professionals, talmidei chacham, they listened. Today, this generation is not taught what it means to listen. There's no such thing as listening. To listen, you learn on your own. So today, you see shiurim. There are very few shiurim today of where people actually listen. Most of them, they're like 3-4 people. If you look at the Farbach Jewish Journal, like 1,000 dafyomi shiurim. They can't even fit them on the page. You have to need a microscope to see the number of dafyomi shiurim. Let me ask you, these dafyomi shiurim, I'm not coming, most of them are like 3-4 people. And the 3-4 people, I know because I give one of those type of shiurim. It's more like a chabura where we learn it together.
That's good.
Okay, it's very good. It's fantastic. But I really miss the olden days, my father's shul, where I had Balabatim, who listened. They gave a shir, they came to listen. I don't see that anywhere. I don't see that anymore.
I understand.
And other people, other shiur, there are a few. There are definitely a few.
That understands it, no question.
There are a few, no question, where we have chashuv people who have an audience of people who come to listen. But it's on a decline. It used to be more. Now, Dafyomi, it's a chabura. It's a chabura, 3-4 people, 2-3 people, or you learn on your own. Okay, you'll make the next Sima Shas. There'll probably be more people in the next Sima Shas than there were in the fast. Last Sima Shas, yeah?
Because years ago, they had nothing what to learn. In other words, they looked in and they believed what you said, and that was it. They have no English, they have no nothing. To go along.
No, I think it's you read in the Dar is where the chinuch habanim, there's no one, they're not trained to listen. There's no such thing as listening anymore. The distractions are just too much. Even among the goyim.
What about in yeshiva? Are they listening in yeshiva?
No, they're not. There's no shiurim in yeshiva. What shiurim? Why is shiurim there in yeshiva? A rashi gives a shiur once a week. He gives a shiur once a week.
No, in yeshiva.
Yeshiva high schools.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know.
That's where I imagine you
it's not like it used to be. It used to be, it's a matter of discipline, nothing more than discipline. It used to be a generation of discipline. Part of discipline is to know how to listen. One of the mem ches dvarim, Shatara nicknames is Shemias Ha'oizen.
First you have to show up.
Okay? Okay, so let's assume you show up. There's something called in the Mem Ches Dvarim Sha'atorah Niknes Shemias Ha'oizen, to listen. Maybe you'll tell me because there's no one today who knows how to teach. There's no the ability.
There's a combination of things.
Combination, right. That's the answer. That's the answer.
It's a media event.
That's the answer. You hit the nail on the head. It's not one thing. It's a combination of many, many things. Many things together. The bottom line is, at least from what I see, I don't see any more. I don't should say any more, but I definitely see a significant decline in shiurim where there's a commitment of shmias ha'ozen. Yeah, you'll go online, Torah Anytime, OU, Torah.org. They have the 150,000 shiurim in OU, and they have in Torah Anytime 100,000 shiurim. They're mamish. I know the people who run it, and they're mamish. Unbelievable what's going on over there. So those shiurim, once a week, twice a week, it's ruba deruba entertainment. Okay, that's wonderful. But entertainment is not always serious learning. Serious learning, you know, to go through a daf yomi every single day, the daf from beginning to end, to concentrate for an hour or an hour every single day, that's not listening to an inspirational speaker. Inspirational speaker tells you stories and tells you they're beautiful. Beautiful. How long does inspiration last? I don't know. But it's a very... I enjoy it. Who doesn't enjoy it? You don't enjoy going here, a good speaker? Of course you enjoy it. It's not the same, though, as going to a shir where they're teaching you difficult concepts without stories, without musr. And it's not mechanical. No, there's longness, there's beauty in it, but there's an intensity. Daf Yomi is such a thing. And it would used to be people came to a shir every single day, even a blot shir on Shabbos. It's not like that anymore.
My wife contends that young people today, of course, mainly they have the iPhones and iPads and all this stuff.
No more iPhones. We have much more sophisticated things now.
They don't have the patience. Exactly what Mark said, I agree. They don't have the
It's a combination.
They're walking up and down.
Exactly.
What's going on? They don't have the patience.
I don't know.
To sit.
So I don't know. I don't know. I was told that in Harvard Medical School, no longer are there classes. They have the professors.
Some won't allow the laptops in the classes anymore. I've read that at certain colleges. I don't know.
They can't do that anymore because they won't go to that college.
Because all they're doing is playing. They're not listening.
They're online. They're surfing the web. So if you're going to do that, what's going to happen? You're not going to get students. Why should I go to Harvard? I'll go to Yale. I'll go to Princeton, just as good. I'll go there because who's going to get the students? There aren't that many good. You know, there are, even though everyone's competing to get in, but if you're going to make it difficult for them, they're not going to be able to surf the web. I'll go somewhere else, and it's all about money. And if you're not going to get the good students, you're not going to get the government funding. You're not going to get an alumni that's going to be very successful and going to replenish. So everyone's competing, and since the student's the customer, you have to satisfy the customer no matter what. The customer wants to surf the web in class. The professor is talking to a wall. He's talking to a wall. And that's exactly what happened in Harvard Medical School, and no more classes. Now the professors, they give lectures to a video camera, just like Torah Anytime. You know, Torah Anytime, some of the best shiurim, which have thousands of hits, when they're given live, they don't even have five people. Because no one wants to come to a shiur. Why come? So they go online. When they go online, how long do they listen online? Listen to the whole for an hour? Listen for an hour. You listen for 10 minutes. Yeah, if you would come to the shiur, you would have to sit there for an hour. You're locked in. If you go online, so you can listen for 10 minutes, and then you can turn the channel, go to the next shiur, or go surf the web. It's a whole different world.
There is a future. You can speed up.
You can speed up. You can make the sound. That's right. That's what I used to go. You need to speed up the sound, adjust the pitch, adjust the speed, faster. Why? As you said, Mr. Rappaport, it is a combination. It is a combination of factors of society, of the world that we live in. But this world that we live in today has damaged to a very, very great degree what it says in Pirkei Avos. The Torah is nicknamed B'mem ches devarim. One of the mem ches devarim is what's called shmi'as ha'oizen, the listening of the ear. Shmi'as ha'oizen has taken in our generation a hit. Not just a hit. It's been wiped out.
It's interpreted. It's interpreted into the web.
What? It's not the same. I'm telling you, I know, but I could get a shir today to give a daf yom shir like I gave 10 years ago, 15 years ago, my first start in the Young Israel. I had balabatim, all serious people, doctors, lawyers, committed. Every single day will come and sit and listen. And every word that you say, they listen. If you don't say it right, they'll challenge you. If you don't say the diktuk right, they'll also challenge you. If you don't say the English correctly, they'll tell you privately, you know, you don't want to talk English. Let me help you with your English. Today, someone told me in Lakewood, so I don't know if it's true, but someone told me in Lakewood there are almost no daf yom shiurim in Lakewood. How could it be there's no daf yom shiurim in Lakewood? Honestly, it's not true. There are. I mean, there are very few. Why? Because everyone wants to say the shiur. Why should I come listen to you say the shiur? I'll say the shiur. I'm going to listen to someone say the shiur. I'll give the shiur. So if everyone wants to give the shiur, no one wants to listen, there's no shiurim. And taking turns, that doesn't work. Doesn't work. For some reason, it doesn't work. It's a very big problem. Okay, there's something called listening. To listen, the Navi spoke. You asked to come down to a tangent because you asked, who's listening? Guess what? In ancient times, they listened. Did they pay attention? Did they follow what you said? No, I can't. My wife doesn't let me. Okay, my wife does not allow. What can I tell you? I have children, and they don't want. So listen, you know, a lot of people do a lot of strange things because of family, and they have no choice. People they live their whole lives. Listen, I have children. If I really want to do this, but I have children. They're in shidduchim. I have grandchildren. What do I have to go and make it hard for them? They'll go. They'll inquire. They'll say, oh, his father does A, B, and C, and D. So you know what? I'll go to the next girl, the next boy. Why do I need to go into this family? So you don't. They don't want to ruin it for their children. Not that they believe in it. Their children are part of a system, and the children it makes it easier for them. At least you think it does. Okay, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just nonsense. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But why take the chance? So people do things, whatever they have to do. But they listen. They hear what you have to say. They may not do what you say, but at least they listen. So there's no question, when the Nevi'im spoke to Klal Yisrael in ancient times, people listened. If they were here today, I don't know if people would listen. People would be interested in listening. Yeah?
The example of Shaul and Malka. Shaul said, I heard. Shmuel said, no, he didn't hear.
He didn't hear.
He didn't hear.
Different ways to listen.
You went in one ear and out the other. You didn't really absorb it.
Okay, there are different dimensions of listening. That's a much deeper level. He listened, but he didn't get the message. Okay, there's a different level of listening, but at least people listen. It's definitely a problem. If it was a Navi today, would anyone listen? I don't know. Who would we talk to?
How do you know someone's listening and they're not doing what you said?
No, that's what I told you. The high lechud, the high lechud. No. You see, that's not exactly the point. It's not so.
Okay,
people, they want to hear what you have to say, but they don't want to necessarily do it. They don't necessarily want to do what you have to say. There's something to listening to hear. Like, I used to go to a shiur. I'm not going to tell you who. You can probably figure it out. I used to go to a shiur, a person who is not from this community and has ideas that are really way out. But I would go every week, I would go religiously to his shiur. Why? I wanted to hear what he had to say. When he went, I used to call it a commercial. You know, he would say Torah, and then he'd go off on tangents. Like, I'm getting to do over here too much, right? Go off on tangents. So we would joke around, you know, we would say, I didn't come to the shiur, I would say, tell me, what was the shiur about? Tell me the topic. Then I would say, and what were the commercials? Tell me about the commercials. He'd go off on tangents and talk about Shmir Sinayim. What? His Torah was so good. The Torah stuck with us, and that's why people
and
went.
The commercials.
That's why people went to the shiur, because the Torah was so good. He was so good. The Torah. People would say, "What do you need the commercials for? Just forget about the commercials. Just stick to the Torah." People always say, "Just forget about the. What do you need to go throw in this mishigas? Just stick to the good Torah." But So do I follow the people there in the shir really take him seriously? He was very serious, but we didn't take him very seriously because that's not us. You're talking to a wall, but we still went to listen. It was kedai to hear what he had to say. There's just something about listening to what he had to say that was very appealing. I don't know why. I can't explain it in words. Maybe it was his holiness, his kedusha. I'm not holding there. I'm not holding on his level. I'm not anywhere near there. So by me, I'm not gonna follow his rules.
Still giving the
shir? Yeah, of course. But he said I don't go to shir anymore. It's just because he moved to a new location, so it's just too inconvenient to go. But there was something very appealing. And not just me, a lot of people. There's something very appealing because he's a holy person. There's just something there to listen to. So just because you listen does not mean you are committed to do. I know someone had a daughter, and he was chalashing that his daughter should go to medical school. It's chalashing. Brilliant girl, and the father wanted her, and the daughter, the girl was in the Beis Yaakov, in a Haredi, real right wing Beis Yaakov, and she was agreeable a little bit that maybe she should go to medical school. But because all of her friends and the society that she was part of, the school that she was part of, a Beis Yaakov girl like this chevra, what are you talking about? You don't go to medical school. You're going to be a mother. You're going to take care of your children. Who's going to make parnasa? I don't know. But you're not going to go. So her father told her, "I want you to go to. Let's go to a gadol, gdolim. So she said to her father, "Okay, they were fighting. I'm going to go ask this particular gadol the question. What does he think?" So the father right away knew that the gadol was not an extremist. He was a real, middle of the road gadol, which there was a possibility he definitely would say to her, "Yeah, he should go." But the father felt in his heart that this gadol was more on the other side, was more to the right, and would tell her not to go. So the father was very scared that the gadol would ruin it for her. So he said, "I agree with you. You can go to him. Provided that you go to him not to ask him a psak halacha. You go to ask him what he thinks. Don't go to him to ask a shayla, 'I'm a kabel, you're my rav, you paskin halacha, loisosu mikol asher yomu l'cha yuminu smol.' Go to him as a gadol to talk it over. To talk it over without a psak halacha. Let him tell you his derech, what he thinks. And you tell him what you think, and you tell him what I say, and have a conversation with him. And even if he will tell you that in his opinion, it's better not to, I'll let you go to him. You can go, do whatever you want, but go, but don't go with the attitude that you have to listen to what he says. But I want you to go to hear his perspective. That's a healthy thing. It's healthy to hear someone's perspective. What?
Do you think that's healthy? Do you think that's the right way to go?
Yeah, I do. I actually do.
Yeah.
Because in this generation, for sure, I don't think in this generation a person can take a chrys and in a matter of hashkafa to tell a person halacha, yeah. But a matter of hashkafa that a person they are gedolim we have in our generation that really understand people to the degree where they can make those type of decisions for you. I wish they were. I would run to them. I don't have anyone I can go to that I really, they're very great, big Talmidei Chachamim, there's no question about it. But on that caliber where you give your life over, maybe I'm just not because.
No, is there anyone today who you would consider a half of this old Skolana Rebbe, a half of the Rabbi Yoilish, a half of
right.
Moshe, a half of Lubavitch? Who's even at half of that today?
So, there we don't. You have to connect. You have to go to a person who knows what you're going through, who knows, has been where you have been, has been in your shoes, you can relate to. Plus, he's a holy person. He's a Talmud Chacham, and he's truly a holy person. He does things, he behaves in ways that that are way beyond me. Then I can say, this person's been in my shoes, he's a holy person, I have faith in him, and yeah, I'll put my trust in him to tell me what to do. Just blindly to go to a person and say whatever. I'd be very happy to go to these people if they would give me an audience. I'd be very happy to go if you find time to get an appointment with these people for more than 2 minutes. Is where we can discuss it, and I'll be very happy to hear their perspective. That'd be fascinating. Yeah?
Getting back to the father who wanted the daughter to go to medical school, there is a concept of the father creating a conflict, sending the girl to that type of Beis Yaakov, and then on the other side...
Mashahoya kvar hoya. What was. If he would do it, all over again, maybe. Mashahoya kvar hoya. Right now, we got to deal with the present. Right now, he has a brilliant child. The child is a natural for this profession, but she's a product of a certain environment where her teachers and her friends are telling her it's not the right thing for you to do. What happened? I don't know what happened. I believe not. Okay, if you want to know what happened, I'll tell you the answer. Okay, I should say that. She did not go. Okay, that was the end. I don't think I don't think the reason why she did not go is because I think it's because she got married shortly thereafter, and she right away had a baby, and that took on a life of its own, literally, and that just somehow distracted her from being able to go through with this wish. So what would have happened if she would not have gotten married immediately? She would have been still single, and then she would have had the opportunity. Maybe she would have gone. I really don't know what would have happened.
What did the Rav say?
I don't know. I wasn't privy to that part of the conversation. That they didn't want to tell me. That I would never found out. But this part I did know. This girl told this to me herself. She told this that she was going to go to this gadol. The person was enough. She told this to me herself. She told me that her parents very much want her to go. Her parents very much want her to go. And she might end up going. She's open to going. But she just, her heart is not there because she knows that it's a conflict with her upbringing in this with her friends and her teachers. And she said she wanted to go to this girl who's no longer living. This person really was known to be a clever, middle-of-the-road person. And her father was petrified that he should go to her, and the father said to her, good, go, but do me a taiva. You're a big girl, you can do whatever you want, even though I'm paying for it. but do me a taiva, if you want to really go, you don't have to go. It was an eye-opener to me at the time. Hey, I was much younger then. I didn't see the world, how complex the world was, and your father said, you can go, but just do me a taiva. Don't go with an attitude that it's a psak halacha. Like they teach you in Cheder, that lo yos, there's something when it comes to hashkafa of going to discuss it, but you make the decision at the end. Hear his perspective. He'll give you a perspective, and it'll be a contribution, it'll contribute to the ultimate decision. Okay, let's go further. So the point over here, I just wanted to point out, yes, you got me off on the stage. It was a very good point over here. Is the answer is yes. People were listening. There's no doubt about it. People in ancient times listened. And here Hashem is saying something very harsh. In the past, I was good to you, but no more. Now, I'm not going to be good. B'smale ha-sa'ah. Let's continue in the Mitzudos David. We're up to over here, the second line on page 197, the second line, Ehi divarecha mavas. My words, mikanu lahaba. From here on in, it's rough waters. Aval ata now she'enoi chacham. You're not paying attention. Nesmala hasa'ah ela novel v'choifer b'toivasi. You are a disgusting person, a disgusting people, and you are denied. You choifer b'toivasi. You have denied the fact that your success has come from me. Loi die shaloi eftecha mimaves. Not only will I no longer redeem you from death, ela avi alecha maves b'dever uvecher uveraav v'chayirah. I'm going to bring upon you death, a very harsh death. Now, he explains here something very interesting. Uperush divarecha. I'm in the Radak. I'm on page 197. I'm in the Radak. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, I'm in the Radak. We did this yesterday, and we did Rashi yesterday. I'm in the Radak. On page 197, I'm in the Radak. It's the deeper, it's where the wide lines get very wide. Look at Pasuk Yudalit. Go down from Yudalit three lines. Three lines down from where Pasuk Yudalit begins. Uperush Devarecha comes from the word Dibur. And the reason why he's coming to emphasize this is because I'm going to show you in a few moments, hopefully, that some learn Dibur, not Dibur, means Dever. Dever means a plague. What kind of plague? All different types of plagues, which mean instant death. And what and let me say the words out now, so we'll run through because we're out of time. Is Hashem over here is saying that in the past, when you made trouble, so I didn't bring upon you instant death because I was hoping you would do teshuva. So I brought upon you sickness, and sickness takes a long time to die. It's not so easy to get out of this world in the modern day and age. Someone said to me once, "Well, you think you're just going to lie down and die? It's so easy to leave this world in the modern day and age in the 21st century. It happens like it happens all the time, Rabbi. So let's kid ourselves. But you think it's so easy? Oh, that's it. My time is up. You lie down and you die. In the 21st century, you don't. The average person doesn't just lie down and die. They torture you." They prevent you from leaving this world by hooking you up to every machine and giving you all these artificial medicines, muchizach, to keep you in this world as long as they can. You don't just lie down and die. So in ancient times, no one just lie down and died. Hashem brought sickness. For what purpose? Because that was an opening, a person, why am I sick? It must be I have done averos. So you know what? I'll do teshuvah. Hashem accepts the tshuva, and the person has a refuah. Boirei refuos, noira sehilos. But when Hashem says, I'm not giving you a second chance, it's over. You have sinned so much, nesmala ha'sa'ar, it's over, just drop dead right now. Let it be over instantly. And that's why I'm going to bring upon you a dever. A dever is a very quick death. 1, 2, 3. That's a disadvantage. Because it's an advantage to live. It's an advantage to live. If you're going to die suddenly, that's no good. You're dead. So if Hashem doesn't want a person to die, so Hashem, Rachman al-Son, can make a person bring upon him illness, which is a refuah. But it doesn't work for everyone. Some people respond well to the medicine, some do not respond well. How is it going to work for you? You know what's going to be? It depends on if you do teshuvah. I'm giving you another chance. But when Hashem says no more chances, it's already strike 3, then it's instant death. And instant death is not pleasant. It's not good for the neshama. And therefore, when it says here the word, when it says here from here on in, it says, Ehi Divarecha Maves. The death will be in the form of a dever, which means instant death. That's what we see. Marie Caro is going to say that. But over here, yeah, the reason why I'm telling you this outside now is because the Radak is coming to reject that. The Radak knew good and well that the other opinions want to translate the word Divarecha Miloshen Dever, and come up with a drush to explain why dever or not another type of death. And therefore he says, no, don't say that. That's not the pshat. That's not the pshat. When it says deverecha, it means a gezera. It means a command, an edict. It means a dibur, lashon dibur. My dibur, he says beferish, uperish deverecha. When it says deverecha, it means divarai, my command. I will issue a command from above that you shall suffer. Sheshalachti l'cha, I will send upon you v'loy shamati v'koli v'hu yigroim, this that you have not listened to me. I have spoken to you. Divarai, you know, see, it's even better. I'm sorry, it's even better. Not a command. It's the words of the prophets. He's saying, the Radak over here is saying over here is, Ehi divarecha. I have sent prophets to you and have told you to do teshuva, and you have not listened. And therefore, because you have not listened to the warnings that I've given you through my dibur, which in this context means who's dibur? Hashem's dibur channeled through the prophets. The result is death. You don't listen to the prophets, you're going to suffer. Hu yigroim l'cho hamaves. V'yomar divarecha kamo divarai. The word divarecha is the same, really means over here divarai. It would have been grammatically correct for the pasuk to say, according to the translation, according to the translation of the Radak, it would have been better if the pasuk would have said Ehi Divarai Maves. See, someone wrote this in a class in high school in Ivris, he gets a C for the course. Because it's not the way you should say Ehi Divarai Maves. If the student would have wrote pasuk Ehi Divarai Maves, he would have gotten an A. Now that he wrote Ehi Divarecha Maves, he gets a C. because it's not the right word. So the Radak says, okay, even though the word really is not the right word, but I do not stand down for my perish that the word divarai does not mean dever, it means my words. And even though it's written divarecha, which is not really, does not really fit into the perish of what the Radak is saying, that's still what it means. And it's a style of writing. It's a sophisticated style of writing, which means that you did not pay attention to the words of the prophets, and therefore, as a consequence, you're going to suffer death. That goes into the grammar. The reason why he comes to explain, he's presenting an argument to the teacher, don't give me a C, give me an A, because even though it should say divarai and it says divarech, I can show you in grammar that it's A okay. Let's leave it out. Let's go further. Now, v'yesh b'farshim, let's jump down one line. Okay. Divarecha min dever kaved mod. Oh, so now it kind of makes sense. Now we understand why it says the word divarecha. Hashem, I'm going to make the divarecha, the plague that comes upon you, will result in death. Not every plague results in death. This plague will result in death. Lefi, now how do we know that? How do we know the word divarecha means a plague? Lefi shesamchu lemilas kotavcha. It's right next to the word katavcha. Katavcha also is a plague. Katavcha literally means to cut down. But it's an expression which the Radak is telling us is something similar to a plague. So since these two are appear in the same pasuk, they're juxtaposed, we can learn one from the other. V'cheinu oimer, it says, midever boifel yahaloch, he brings a proof that that's what it means. Now the next word of the pasuk, ehi katavcha shol, katavcha, I'm going to cut you down into the grave. The word katavcha means to cut down. I don't know what that means. I don't have a good translation, even though we say everything in davening. The Targum Yerushalmi Lachtoy Veitzim, the translation of Lach means to cut wood. It means lemiktav or in. He's saying it means it's an Aramaic word. It's not even a Hebrew word. The word katavcha is an Aramaic word, which means to cut down. Okay, then he goes on to tell you the grammatical structure. We'll leave that for now. The next word line, noicham yisasei me'inoi, ha-noicham shayisi nicham al ra'asam, k'mo sh'omar v'yinochem Hashem al ra'a, atonau yisasei me'inoi, kol kach, hirbu l'shoya, I will not change my mind. I will not deviate from my decision of bringing an end to you. Okay, this is, so we learn over here, in order to appreciate the Radak, I think it would be good to look at the Mari Kara. The Mari Kara says, Yodalit, back to page 196, and with him we really get a much better flavor of what the Radak really is trying to tell us in the second parish. Miyad, Sheol, Efdei, Mari Kara, 196, Pasuk Yodalit, from the grave I will redeem you, Egolei Miyad, Ha'umois, Hadoimim, L'Sheol, from the nations of the world, which are similar to the grave, umi maves midehem oyisi. In the past, same thing. So far, everything is the same. Just like Rashi, the Mesudas Radak, the first part of the pasuk is the past. In the past, I've been so good to you. I've always come to your rescue. Umidehem oyisi poides yishol kishayalu ritzoni. But now it's a different story. Ehi divarecha maves ani ehyeh. She'adaber olecha mavis. And this is really what I told you originally. I didn't really appreciate the Radak. When he says the word divarecha in his first parish, it means the words of prophecy. And it should really say divarai, my words of prophecy that were channeled through the prophets will result in your death. They warned you, shape up. You did not listen to my prophecy, to my words, and therefore you deserve what you're going to get. He says that Devarai also means Dibur, but it means my command. From here on in, I will issue a gezerah, a harsh decree that you should die. That's what Rashi said, that's what the Mitzudo said, and that's what the Mari Kara is saying. It means Devarecha means Dibur, then Ahi Katavcha Sha'ol. And I will be the one that will cut you down. Okay, now let's go further. Here
he
we hear
the word means to destroy who lays waste at noon.
To destroy the one.
The destroyer who lays waste at noon.
And who? So who's the noon? It's some type of a demon.
He's talking about all these things that is going to happen to you. That, but obviously, it's in Yosef Seisa. So you don't.
Get the Marie, you know, like that.
All these spooky things. Okay, let's see further. Now, here's the important part. Oh, you see, I made a mistake, Rabbi Yisai. The Vodim Shamarati Lufanecha Torah Semyadi. I meant to say Rabbi Shmuel Almay Senai. That's what I meant to refer to. That's the parish. That's what I meant to refer to. Let's go look at Pasuk Yudal. Not that I'm Rikara. Of the Rabbi Shmuel Almay. How do you say this again? Almay Senai. He told me I have to have Rabbi Chol's on here today. I'm sure. I think I pronounce it in English Almoy Senoi. And he Almoy So Nenoi. Okay. So what did he say? Look what he said over here. Reb Shmuel. Okay, good. The Kevon Shekain, he named Masha Yisi Poides Chem Yad Shaol. This, that I redeem you from the grave. Ume Amoves Yisi Golom. Okay. So far, so good, the past. He named Ata Ti Amoves. Here's the point. Now, things are different. Al Yidei Hadever. He's learning the word dev. Devarecha means dever, like the second parish in the Radak. And he explains the inyan shelo yihye shehus. It's going to happen swiftly. Mehazman sheyoyde al chatoav, from the time that they acknowledge their sins. El sheyye ze sibo sheegal oischa kimoy shayisi gol arata. Let's go further. V'chein ha-she'ol she'yisi poyde o'yischa ye'ketev miriri she'ein pidyoin loy. V'zehu o'ymoy noicham yisoser me'inoy ritzoyn loy ma'shlo uchal li'hinochei mitzat ha-shamoves ye'dev v'ha-she'ol. Now that the death will be dever. V'ha-she'ol ye'ketev miriri ki ha-choyle, because under normal circumstances the choyle is chai admod. The words of the Rabbi Shmuel, It's very terse. It's very hard to translate. It's not written in our style of writing. But what he's saying over here is he's saying a beautiful parallel. It's a very beautiful idea how he learned Pshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk begins, there's a parallel between Sheol. In the past, it was Sheol Efte. In the past, there was Moves. From Moves, Egolem. But now, the Moves is not Stam Moves. It's a moves of dever. And the sheol is not stam sheol. It's called the ketef sheol. There are two different types of death. There's regular death, and there is the death of the moves of dever. There's two different types of graves. There's stam sheol, and then there's the sheol of ketef, like the Russian ketef miriri. What's the difference? A regular death is a process. It takes a very long time. And in that process, there's always hope. If you go to the right doctor and he administers the correct medicine, then you will live. You'll have a full recovery. If you don't go to the right doctor, then over time, the person will die. Death in the grave, after a person dies, when it comes to Olam Haba, as Ramayevsky mentioned, there is this a process in the next world. And in death, in the Sheol, being in the Sheol, there is opportunities. We don't know how these things work in the next world, of Tikkun, where the Neshama is rectified and it is purified and earns a chelik in Olam Haba. But Rachmana Litzlan, there are Neshamos that don't just go to the Sheol; they go to a special grave called the Ketev Sheol, where in that grave there is a guardian called the Ketev Miriri. And in that Sheol, there is no tikkun. There is no rectification.
No rehabilitation.
That's the age-old debate in America. What's the purpose of a prison, incarceration? Is it a punishment just to keep the guy off the streets? Or is it a correction facility where we're going to take this criminal and we're going to give him a college education, we're going to give him a PhD, and we're going to give him programs, and we're going to give him doctors and psychiatrists and medicine to rehabilitate him, to be misaking him, so we can one day let him loose on society all over again. We're going to correct him. so we can one day feel it's safe to release him, because we in America, we don't have the right to punish a person. That's a very noble idea. Only Hashem can punish a person. You don't have a right to take someone's life. You don't have a right to do so. A person is a danger, is a criminal, so you put him away. You put him away. You have to treat him well. What's now you have to give him a television. You have to give him good food. You got to make it comfortable for him in prison. Everything. He has to have everything in prison. And what is the most important thing? Let's try to rehabilitate him. It's not in man's power to punish another human being. That's a very noble thing in America. I think there are 2 million people in prison in America. It's a lot of people. At least 2 million people in America are in prison. Quite a number. Maybe even more. Maybe even more. They said, how many people were once in prison? There are 2 million people currently in prison. From the 300 million citizens in America, how many at one point in time, Rahman al-Islam? Okay, let's not go there. But over here, Hashem is saying that in the past, and then some will argue, no, you're in a country. In a country, you're in this authority. You have a right, a God-given right, to punish human beings. You can take their life, capital punishment. You have the right to torture them. A person who commits a crime, you have to use taxpayer money to give them a gourmet meal every night, gourmet meals. Feed them stale bread. What kind of business is this? This is a criminal. He committed a crime. Torture him. Do whatever you want him. This is an ongoing debate of what is the role of a prison. In America, they need more to have rachmanis. It's not our power to cause you harm. Adraba, in other countries, it's certainly not like that. Outside the United States, a prison, it's not.
They're more mentally ill in the prisons today.
That's right. So they acknowledge that, and they spend, and that's exactly. So they go and they devote in taxpayer money, billions of dollars of taxpayer money is there to rehabilitate people who are in prison. We're not just there to keep you off the streets. So here, Hashem, in the past and in other countries, in Siberia, okay, in third world countries, you commit a crime, you're not going anywhere. You're put into a prison, they're going to torture you until you die. So here Hashem says, in the good old day, back in the day, when Klal Yisrael sinned, I put them in prison in America. Big, comfortable prisons with lounges and rehabilitation. I gave you opportunity to rehabilitate yourself in this world and the next world. It was a modus. That was a long, slow process. And therefore, a person, if he would wake up and do teshuva, Hashem would rescind the decree and he would have a refuah shalema. When it came to the next world, he went to the Sheol. So the Sheol, Gehenim, 12 months in Gehenim, it's rehabilitation. Whatever happens there, who knows what happens there, it rehabilitates the neshama after 12 months, and the neshama goes to Gan Eden after 12 months. But no more. Now I'm fed up. And therefore, the death, there's going to be no opportunity in death. When there's maves, it's called the maves of divorecha. Dever. Instant death. 1, 2, 3. No chance for teshuva. When you get to the grave, you think you can have rehabilitation? No, no, no. The grave now is not going to be stam sheol, which in the past I gave you an opportunity of pedia. It's going to be the sheol of ketofcha, of ketef. A grave of ketef where you go nowhere. I don't know. All these things are very abstract. But the idea, at least, let's get the picture of the idea, is there's no opportunity in this type of grave. There's a stam sheol and there's the sheol of ketef. There's stam maves and there's maves of dever. And this is what's changing now at this point in time due to the Chatam of Klal Yisrael. That's what the Shmuel Almay Shaininu learns, and L'chayr, that's really what the Radak is saying between the lines. Also, pretty much the same idea. And that's also what's so beautiful about this idea is Meicha Misaser Me'inoi. It's beautiful because now this really explains the difference. See, what he really is, Rav Shmuel, and this parish, is it, the words Noicham is coming to explain the difference between what used to be in the past and what's going to be now. In the past, it was Stam Shol and Stam Dever and Stam Oves. Oh, there was a possibility for Noicham. There was a possibility for change, for Hashem to change his mind. But now that we're going to a Moves of Dever and a Sheol of Kedev, now there's no Noham Yisoser. is no, this is the difference between the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk. The last few words are a hezver in the perish of the pasuk. Very beautiful. See, the Radak doesn't say that part. The Radak doesn't bring out those last few words is exactly the fundamental difference between the first part of the pasuk and the second part of the pasuk. What? All the generations. Yeah, they all died. It was so severe. Hashem did not give a chance for the future. Hashem did not give a chance. That's what's so frightening. That is what is so frightening. Okay. Okay, Rabbi said that's it. We're not going to do the Malmi. Next week, we're going to start the next Pasuk. Next week, we're going to start Pasuk Tes Vav. Okay, moving forward, Tes Vav.